Tyler Anderson. I'm from San Diego. Anybody on the West Coast here? Nice, actually pretty good representation. I run a digital ad agency out there called Casual Fridays. I also am co-founder of a SaaS tool called TAC, and TAC is a UGC tool that helps get legal permission to user-generated content across Instagram. So that's kind of what I do. And then I also have a top-rated podcast all about digital and social media marketing called the Casual Fridays Podcast. So you can go listen to that if you want to get more information about marketing. So good show. And we actually have some of their speakers who have been speaking at the summit as previous guests here in the last couple of weeks. Really quick, show of hands, how many of you are B2C? Okay, and how many are B2B? So mostly B2C, okay, good. So today we're gonna be talking about best practices in lead generation through social media. My very first job, I'm gonna date myself here, my very first job out of college, which is in 2001, so about 2002, I worked in radio advertising, so I sold radio ads. Has anybody ever had that kind of job before? Raise a hand, show hands. You did. Did you work for like Clear Channel back in the day? J-Core? Cable TV. Okay, so you did sales though, right? Okay. So I had training, and what was your name? Jennifer, okay. So very similar. Media sales is just like, you know, television, radio, print, all that stuff, advertising. This is, of course, before the internet. It was entirely different, right? So I went through training, and I remember, you know, I was young, I was right out of school, and, you know, when they talk about the training, it's more about like building proposals, like learning about the markets, the radio stations, all the stuff, but they don't really talk to you about like how you're gonna acquire customers or clients, right? And I go to my cubicle, because I get my cubicle, right, after the training, and I'm like, so are you guys gonna like, do people call the radio station and say, hey, we wanna advertise, and do they pass those leads on to us? And they laughed at me. They're like, oh, good luck with that. So do you know how we had to go back then to go out and find our prospects and to find our leads? Anybody? I know Jennifer knows. They plop the yellow pages down on our desk. Okay, so literally, they throw the yellow pages down. They're like, smile and dial. That's what you had to do. And do you know how like seriously annoyed people were? This is back in 2000. I know we're all annoyed now. Are you guys getting a bunch of like automated phone calls on your cell phones nowadays? Yeah. Has anybody tried out that Robo Killer app? It's pretty cool. I don't know. I tested it out, but it's what's funny. So really quick, off topic, you can download an app that like automatically detects these fake phone calls. And it has a bunch of pre-recorded conversations, so you can like waste that person's time. So the one that I was testing out was like this Russian guy. So he like answers the phone in Russian, but he speaks some English. Then he tells people, can you please hold? And he's like having another conversation in Russian. It's pretty funny. So anyway, but people are utterly annoyed when you disturb them, obviously. So, but this is really what a lead was for me when I had to start back then. So, you know, a lead is an individual or an organization who potentially has interest in what you're selling. The problem is when you were doing that through the yellow pages, they didn't have interest in what I was selling. I was disrupting their day. I was being a big pain in the butt. Any of you guys know Glengarry Glen Ross? You obviously know that, but basically those leads were weak coming out of the yellow pages, right? And one of the biggest things they teach you is know your numbers. You know, if you knew that you had maybe like get some clients and say you want to have like 20 clients, you might have to call literally like 200,000 people. Well, in a local radio market, that's pretty tough. And the reality is, and this is a little bit of a dated statistic, but people just, they don't respond to cold calls, right? They don't want to be bothered. Even the other day, running the agency, I get cold called still all the time. Blows my mind why it happens. And the guy called me, and like I was in the middle of doing something else. So I was totally annoyed. And actually, when I was kind of annoyed. And I was rude to him. I just hung up on him. But I was sitting there thinking to myself, the product actually was somewhat interesting to me. And basically, because I do run a digital ad agency, sometimes we have needs of copywriting. And this was a copywriting agency where you could like get some other copywriters. And I'm like, it would have been better, so much better for them if they would have had like an actual funnel in place and try to nurture that lead for me too, or try to nurture me as a lead. So kind of like the lead today, I like to say it's an individual organization with the interest in what you're selling, but I like to add this part. Is that working? Yeah, that did. I'm sorry. But yeah, here we go. And have the provided contact information you can use to follow up with them for more. Is anybody in here properly like doing a lead nurturing campaign? A few of you? Raise hands. Okay, good. So today we're gonna talk about how to generate leads through social media, but first I do wanna talk about some of the mistakes that we see first, okay? The first one is not mapping out your strategy or your funnel. This can be a big miss if you're not doing this. Social media lead generation should have an editorial calendar that kind of guides people through all these funnels. Who has a funnel in place? Only raise them high. Okay, much better. Okay. Your funnel may look like this. It may not look like this. But really, where I feel like the leads kind of come in is really in that evaluation process. I need somebody as a volunteer. You. What's your name? Are you B2C?
Yes.
Okay. What's your company?
Smile Direct Club.
Smile Direct Club. What is that? Like a
so
invisible liners. So I don't have to go to my dentist, or I don't have to go to your dentist, or I don't have to go to my dentist to get them. That's what I'm saying. Orthodontist. Okay. Okay. No. Much better. So you're right. I do have to go to my dentist, but I don't have to go to orthodontist. I can now just go get this direct. Got it. Okay. So when you guys map out a social media plan, like, what are you trying to do to create awareness? Okay. And then are you immediately asking for the sell right away?
No.
Okay. Good. All right. So we're going to kind of dive deeper into all this today. So, but you basically need to have this funnel in place. So you want to have some type of content that's going to drive awareness. You eventually then want to have content that kind of turns that person to where they're going to want to evaluate your product or service. And then you're going to have ultimately content where you're going to try to convert those people. So some of the lead generation mistakes, another one is not knowing your audience. Recently, this kind of popped up in my newsfeed. Okay, you guys maybe can't make this out. First of all, it looks kind of nasty, doesn't it? So it's for a product called Manscaped. And I don't know if you guys know this, most of the time you can like click on the three little dots on any ad and you can actually see why they're targeting you. Does anybody do that? I love doing that just to see for pure fun. And so like clearly, like I've never been to this company's website. Honestly, like I'm not a candidate for this product whatsoever. And I did go ahead and look at why they're serving this up to me, and it's because I was a man, right? 18 to 49. And pretty general, right? Okay, now maybe this is part of their play for the awareness, but really, like, and it was also just buy this now, right? Like, clearly, they did not know their audience there at all, right? They could have done a much better job of trying to figure out that. So when I say like, not knowing your audience, you can't just say like a general demographic. If I was doing marketing for these guys, I would think like, okay, who's probably gonna like maybe shave their chest hair, maybe bodybuilders, guys who work out. So I maybe would have targeted people who are interested in health and fitness, for example, or maybe the military, guys in the military. So you could definitely like, get a little bit more detail in who you're trying to target on that. So that's a big mistake. You gotta know your audience. Another one is then not being conversational. So you gotta make sure that you're having like conversations within there, within your copy and your content and what you're putting out there and trying to get people to engage with it. This is a little blast for the past, but I think it just definitely like illustrates this point the best. We'll see how many of you guys remember this.
Howdy y'all, this here's Mike. Down at Mike's Golf Shop. Where we buy golf. That's right. We buy golf clubs. Mike's Golf Shop. Come on over here. We buy golf clubs. Over at Mike's Golf Shop. Come on down here. We buy golf clubs. That's right. We buy golf clubs. We buy golf clubs. We buy golf clubs. We buy golf clubs. We buy golf clubs.
All right, so I think you guys get the point. Now, in fairness to Mike, he's actually stepped up his game. That video was something he posted on YouTube back in 2013. If you go to his YouTube channel now, he actually gives instructional videos on golf swings. So he's providing value there. So he's learned from there. But clearly, back in the day, like that's sadly, we saw a lot of marketers do that. They would just go out there and treat everything on social media like an advertisement, right? And that's really blatantly all that was. So those are the big mistakes that you got to kind of know kind of going into this. Now, as far as strategies, probably the number one strategy is creating gated content and then sharing those links, right? So again, depending on where you're in your funnel, you might have this gated content that's going to get that person into that awareness step that we talked about. So here's some examples. Here's a product that's a data analytics software tool called Looker that basically builds dashboards. So this one they had is like, hey, we went out and surveyed all these marketing teams and we asked them like, what kind of business intelligence tools are they using for 2018? Get the latest G2 crowd report free. So they provided like a research report for free. That's their hook. That gets you in there. If I click on that link, this was actually on LinkedIn, or this is shared on LinkedIn. If you click on that link, you would step over to their website, right? And that's where they would have a lead gen form. You can put your first name, last name, email, phone number, company name, all that. And I'm going to download and get the free report. This integrates right with their CRM tool. And then hopefully they have a proper nurturing funnel or lead nurturing funnel, whether it's through this email or they might send this over to a salesperson. We don't know. We don't have that information on how their sales process goes, but that's how they're generating the lead. Now, the other thing, too, as a best practice, anytime you are going to have gated content and you're sending someone there, I can't tell you how many businesses I still come across who don't have this, but you have to have your Facebook pixel on your website if you're going to do any form of retargeting. Does anybody here not have a Facebook pixel on their website? Everybody does? Raise them. You don't? You don't? They said your website's malicious. Yeah. You got it. Even if you don't feel Facebook's your audience, like, but Instagram, and you know, just because Facebook does own it all, but like that's a big miss if you're not getting that pixel. So I highly recommend you guys got to go do that. Here's another one, Glassdoor. So this one, they just wrote like, hey, new hire onboarding checklist. Is anybody a hiring manager? Does anybody have a team under them? One or two of you? Like this was served to me. I run an agency with, you know, 30 plus employees. So I of course think this is a great valuable resource. But again, it's providing value. It's a resource. It's an onboarding checklist. It's an ebook. I can click that to download, and again, I go to their website. Very simple. Instagram stories. Here's a great one that happened on stories. So this is a story. Someone just basically said how to bring out the size and thickness of your biceps, right? So swipe up to learn more. So it's clearly it's a workout instructional type piece of content, right? So if you swipe up, he's delivering on the promise, right? So he's giving me bicep workouts, how to get your bigger biceps. But then it's a little hard to see this, but on the top, he has this thing, and it says, take our free one-minute quiz to find out exactly what diet and training is best for you. I'm kind of intrigued. 1 minute? I can give a minute of my time, right? So if I hit this quiz, this is a quiz, that sends me over to his website. Pretty cool thing. Man or woman, right? Now he's collecting all this data on me, right? I'm a man. How tall are you? I'm 6'3". There's like two or three other questions in there, like weight and all that. And then what he finally spits out for you is your daily macros. So based on all that, he also creates a tailored video. Obviously, he probably maybe recorded like 15 or 20 of these videos, knowing that a majority of people are going to align with one of these. But based on this quiz, then he determined this one is what he was going to play for me. Told me what my daily macros would be, and he talks through what all these things mean, too, in this video. Now, you can't really tell from there, but here you can. That's a 30-minute video, 32-minute video providing value, telling me I'm skinny fat, by the way. That's my problem. I'm skinny fat. And he has a workout program for me to, you know, resolve my skinny fat problems. And so, you know, but there, he's delivering the value. Plus, he got all that information. Plus, he asked for me my email in there, too, to send the final report back to him, too. But you know what? Like, this, to me, like, this is a great example because not only did, going back to the funnel we talked about, he's providing the value. He did the first thing, right? He got awareness with me. He got me engaged. I mean, I took his quiz, right? But in addition to that, and he got all my information, so even if I didn't buy, he can definitely retarget me for the future. But he just gave me 30 minutes of valuable content. He even had a call to action on this page. Like, of course I'm going to buy this program. So, and it worked it's like all diets and everything. It works for a while, right? But anyway, that was another great example of like Instagram stories of lead gen, kind of a few things. Another one is this to run contests and promotions. So, a big key here, though, with contests and promotions is the prizes have to be two things. One, they have to be valuable enough, so someone's going to actually give you their information. Can't tell you again how many times I come into businesses and they think a promotion is like 10% off, right? Like, people aren't going to give you your email for 10% off or 15% off. You got to have it worthwhile. And if you are going to do a prize, it also has to be valuable and relevant to your audience. So, you know, the kind of contest that people are running where they're telling people to like, comment, share, stuff like that, that's good for awareness, and it can maybe lead other people to enter the contest, but it's not ideal for lead generation. In a perfect world, you're going to want to send people to, again, like a landing page where, one, you're pixeling them, again, so you can retarget them if you need to, but you want to send them to a landing page where you're going to get maybe a better, more highly qualified lead, too. Here's an example of, I think I'm pronouncing this right, it's like Kashava. Anybody know this product? I don't know it, but they targeted me again. And so they gave 9 reasons why health-conscious people are obsessed with this meal shake. So it's just basically, it's an informational article. They're not trying to sell or anything, but so it's an article about the shake, obviously. But then when you jump to the website, so this is cool. They're not actually promoting the contest through social. But when you go to the website, then they have the promotion, right? Now it jumps up because if they were just saying, like, if they posted a Facebook ad, hey, we're giving away a Ninja Blender, they probably would have gotten a lot of people who might have entered it, but maybe who really weren't interested in their product. But if because they posted the original piece of content, which is again about the shake or nine reasons why people who are health conscious like it, they're definitely much more likely to want to still try to win this prize, but also would be interested in here, and they're capturing the email. So that's how they're getting the lead. Here's a big festival. It's called Kaboo Cayman. It's actually not happened yet. It's going to be taking place in February. Kaboo's so for the people on the West Coast, has anybody heard of this event before? You have? Yeah, it's in San Diego. It's in Del Mar. So it's a huge music festival, like food. It's like a Coachella, but it's a little bit more high scale or higher end. But then they're launching their second one in the Cayman Islands. And their big goal was to try to get people to the email list, because obviously the sales cycle for this is much more longer. Like, the tickets are pretty expensive. One, not just to go the festival or the concert, but also you got to, like, get hotel, airfare to go to Cayman. It's not like somebody's going to buy, like, that gym member or that gym program or workout program that I bought. This might be, like, all in, like, $3,000, $4,000 for somebody to go. So it's really important for them to capture those emails or get emails so they can try to nurture those leads along. So they did it, again, through a contest. And what's cool about, too, with contests, and I know I mentioned this earlier as, like, maybe not your ideal thing, so they do want people to click through and sign up, but when you do have something with a really cool prize like that, that's when you get other people then tagging their friends to enter too. So that's when it kind of go viral. So another one is webinars and live videos. So webinars are pretty basic. If you're going to do it, you'd want to promote it to a target audience. And you'd want to, again, have, like, when they have to sign up for that, you want to present that as gated content and require them to enter their information to actually then get the link to join the webinar. But another one is if you do want to do, like, live video, like, is anybody leveraging Facebook Lives or even Instagram Lives right now? So you could still do that. Provide your value. Again, teach, educate, inform, provide value to your audience in there. But then what you can do is you can, you know, through the live video, you could say, hey, for more information on this, or if you'd like some detailed information, or if you're going to provide something of value, you can direct them to a landing page through the live video too. So you can still use that and drive them back to some kind of web page, or tell them to send you a direct message with their email. You can do that too if they would like to get more information or whatever it is you're offering. Here's a great example. Is anybody familiar with Lewis Howes? One of you? Okay. So Lewis, he's kind of a big, I don't really know what you'd call him. He originally got started as, like, a big, huge LinkedIn expert. He has a School of Greatness podcast, kind of maybe like a motivational entrepreneur kind of guy. But he had this whole program on how you can get to 10,000 followers in 10 steps on Instagram. And so he's just telling people to swipe up. If you swipe up, you go to his, this is all, again, on Instagram, so this is actually for his webinar. Then he has a webinar on those 10 things. So he's literally giving you 10 steps to do this. It was a free course he was offering through the webinar. And then if you click there to claim your spot, now you can attend the webinar. But you're also, more importantly, you're in Lewis's funnel, and he's trying to sell you other products and services that he has now. And he knows you're a targeted lead. Another strategy is social listening and geo-targeted search. This one was probably a little bit more common and popular with the early days of Twitter, since Twitter's just been kind of stagnant. So, you know, you can still do it, but you got to be a little mindful in how you do it. You don't want to come off creepy. But you could do strategic listening. So again, for your product, like direct-to-consumer, you could literally look for people who are talking about, you know, races and stuff like that, right? So you could listen to that, chime in. But again, sometimes people do get a little, like, weirded out when random brands are just jumping in conversations. Where this also can work on Instagram, if you go on Instagram natively, you can search by the geolocation. So you can actually see when people are, like, checking in, or not checking in, but posting photos and tagging your business. Again, depending on your type of business, like for the hotels, sometimes they'll actually they'll pay attention to who's posting Instagram photos while they're staying at a hotel. And if people are doing some cool stuff, sometimes they'll actually then message them with, like, a bounce back to go check out the restaurant or go buy a coffee. And hey, here's a free cup of coffee if you buy lunch at the restaurant. So there's other ways to try to drive the sales through that, through the geo-targeted search. And then really this last one I have on here really ties to all of them. You have to leverage ads, in my opinion. I mean, yes, you can do some of this stuff organically, but you know, having, like, if you're going to do the jump page up there, you want to have the pixel, like we said, so you can retarget people. It's going to help guide them through your funnel. But additionally, with the ads, Facebook and Instagram, as well as LinkedIn, all have lead ads, which also make it really easy for you then to get all this information right from the person, because they can pull that from Facebook, like their name, their phone number, their email, like any data that you give Facebook on those lead ads, you can extract that. Here's an example of a realtor using it. So this was just a listing in there. Greg Cummings just listed this one bathroom, one bath home in San Diego for $279,000. and swipe up for more information. You swipe up, the lead ad. My information automatically populates in there. And if I hit submit, now he's got that. He can put me into his funnel. So two little bonus tactics I want to talk about. One is leveraging influencers and micro-influencers. And so this is my closet. I have a t-shirt problem, in case you guys can't tell, okay? Now part of the reason I have this t-shirt problem is I think I got it from either Steve Jobs in his book or something like that. And like, you know, Steve Jobs would always wear a black turtleneck. Well, to me, it's just so much easier to just wear a t-shirt every day, preferably V-necks, right? And I've tried so many brands over the years. Like, I've tried like really high-end expensive ones from Nordstrom. I've tried cheap ones, and just, you know, I'm looking for the perfect one. But then some of my friends actually had the same revelation. So this is a buddy of mine named Owen Hemsath, and he posted this video where he was just like, oh my God, mind blown. Life is so much easier when you don't have to make decisions. And he was basically talking about how he was going to start wearing the same color t-shirts. He was going to go buy them all. So I jump in on his thread, and I just told him, like, that's how I roll. That's what I've been doing. You probably can't read these, and I'll just kind of summarize them for you. But basically, I told him, hey, I just came across this new t-shirt service called Fresh Clean Tees, and I'm going to try them out. It's a subscription service. So basically, they send you three new t-shirts every month. And you can kind of go on there. You can pause your membership and all that. So I said I'd let them know how it goes when I got it. So I got my order of Fresh Clean Tees. And then also to kind of tell the story or to bring the story along, Owen wound up just buying five other random black t-shirts. But then that's when I replied to him saying, hey, I did get my first order of Fresh Clean Tees, and I'm going to keep the subscription going. They're really cool, stuff like that. He wound up then messaging me about 2 weeks later asking again, hey, what was that? And then what was also fun is other people noticed those comments too. So I had another buddy named Carlos Gill. Does anybody know Carlos? He speaks a lot. Okay. Carlos jumped in saying, hey, what was that site for that V-neck t-shirt thing you're talking about, right? So I'm promoting that. And now if you go see Carlos all over, he's wearing these V-neck t-shirts too. Fresh Clean Tees, they saw this too, right? Because I was tagging them. And they're like, hey, thanks so much for all the love. That's really cool. And then I also noticed that they leverage a lot of user-generated content, which I thought was pretty awesome. So I was preparing for a keynote this summer, and I reached out to them and said, hey, I'm going to feature you guys in my keynote as a great brand who's leveraging user-generated content, because it was about that topic. I said, but I'd like to do is I'd also, if you're down with this, can we give away some free subscriptions? And they're like, yeah, that sounds cool. So the morning of the conference, I was like running on the beach, and I posted this photo on Instagram. But then I took that same photo that day, and then live from the stage in front of 500 people, I posted this exact slide. So it said, win some tees. Go to my Instagram, comment with your t-shirt size, and tag Fresh Clean Tees. We're giving away five three-packs. So, by the way, I'm sorry, this is not active today, so don't go do that. But what's awesome is we had like over 100 entries on this particular contest. So that's 100 people who was tagging, you know, or they were putting their t-shirt size, tagging Fresh Clean Tees. And then what's cool is Fresh Clean Tees jumped in there and thanked everybody, but then they offered anybody who's involved with that and used the code SMDASD, they get 25% off their first order. And they were also sending private direct messages to people as well. Not trying to be super salesy, but like, hey, thanks for entering. Sorry to win. If there's anything we can do for you, let us know. And so again, they use this contest though to generate leads that day and more awareness. So that's now I'm not saying I'm an influencer, but I'd classify myself more as like a micro influencer there though. The opportunity was there, so you can leverage that. And leveraging like those influencers definitely gives a little bit more credibility to your brand or your business. It's going to be a little bit more authentic versus if they were just out there trying to run a promotion on their own. And then the other one is chatbots. Did anybody go to that session yesterday? Raise your hands. Just one? Oh, wow. So this is something I'm really excited about. If you guys are not looking into this yet, I highly encourage you to. This is something we're doing a lot more on. Really quick to give a high level of this. So 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was in Austin for the Conversations Conference, which is put on by ManyChat, and they're a provider for chatbots. And they had two or three of the big wigs from Facebook there just talking about it. And it's really exciting where this is going. So first and foremost, just the way that people are using social media and all that and just conversations, we like to use these chatting platforms, whether it's like Snapchat direct messages, Instagram direct messages, Facebook messages. And more of them are now opening up their API that's going to allow the opportunity to do bots. And I really do see what's going to happen is I think this has the potential to really outperform email, and we're already seeing it. People are using chatbots, are getting about 90% open rates. Think about that. So And you get subscribers to them. But where it's really getting exciting is, so like right now, Facebook Messenger is the first one that has an open API where you can actually build out these programs. But they just open up the API for WhatsApp, okay? And just a matter of time, Instagram will probably have that API opened up. So I can see where Instagram will be a part of this in by probably maybe the latter part of 2019 or maybe 2020. And additionally, Apple and Google both are opening up their APIs for iMessage and then whatever the SMS platform is on Google. I don't know, I'm an iPhone guy. So basically the principles of chatbots are phenomenal because you can send someone to your bot, or so how this works on Facebook is you would literally send them, and you can do an ad, like on Facebook too, but or if anybody just goes to Messenger and messages your business, and you can just have them opt in, right from there, and they just subscribe to it. And you can provide information, and you should do that. You should provide value. But what's exciting is you get all that data then from Facebook. So you get their name, you get their email, you can add, and then like if you use a tool like ManyChat, you can actually have some custom fields. So you can even ask additional information. So that's where like that example I gave earlier from the guy named Vince on the workout program, like he could have a chat bot and he could replicate that same funnel. So he could have sent something to me like, hey, learn what kind of body style you have, to achieve your health and nutrition goals, and then he could send it to his bot. His first question is like, are you a man or a woman? I'm a man, right? And then he could just have those same questions and he's gonna collect all that information. So messenger marketing, I don't have an example of it because this is something that we're just now getting into, but it's something that we're definitely really high on. And then once people are subscribed to your bot, you can then send them broadcast messages, just like email. And we're seeing in the industry much higher open rates. So definitely recommend something for you guys to look into. So just really quick, some high-level case studies. I mentioned that big music festival, Kaboo. Again, their goal was to drive email signups and to potential customers and get leads into their sales funnel. And then the other secondary goal is, of course, to create awareness about the new event happening in Grand Cayman. So again, they ran this ad with the contest. Again, the primary goal was to get leads. This particular campaign generated over 1,600 leads, cost them 52 cents per lead, which was well below what they were paying for the ones in Del Mar. This is a cool kettlebell. It's called Kettlebell Kings. It's like probably a little similar to what you're doing. Are you familiar with these guys? Heard of them? So they basically direct to consumer. They ship kettlebells. Their strategy is they post like instructional videos on Instagram and how-tos. They curate UGC. So they actually like encourage like their when people buy this in the packaging, they encourage them to like share their workouts, tag them, use their hashtag. And then in their own stories, when they run Instagram stories, on some of these videos, they'll have special offers, tell people to swipe up, they send them through, and their CEO has said that they average 400 to 600 leads per week from social media, and half of them are coming from Instagram, just by that strategy. Any football fans? Okay, one of you. All right, Miami Dolphins. I don't think the Dolphins have had a winning season, well, maybe like one winning season in the last 20 years. Part of the problem is they have to play Tom Brady twice a year. But anyway, they had this huge renovation on their stadium, and they want to try to drive new season ticket sales. This is for 2017. So the first thing they did is they created a bunch of videos, right? So this is all done through live video, or not live video, but videos. So they created the content. Then what they did is they created an engagement custom audience. So basically people who are engaging with these videos, who are watching them, because with the metrics on that, you don't maybe want to retarget someone who only watched 1 second or even 3 seconds of a video, but somebody who is really invested and watched, 30 seconds of these videos or was commenting or sharing it, those are really good candidates of people you'd want to retarget. So then what they did is they created an engagement custom audience based on people who are engaging with these videos. And then the third step is then they retargeted those people using lead ads, right? And then from the lead ads, they were able to take that and turn that into $4 million in ticket sales. So 25% of their new season ticket members in 2017 came from that campaign. So I am running out of time here, and I have about 5-10 minutes for questions. So we'll turn it over to you guys. Any questions? I mean, it depends on your industry, but that can happen. So it depends on the tool you use. So for example, ManyChat, I know, and I think ChatFuel's another one, and I think those are two similar ones. If somebody like chats back, it kicks into a live queue. So like it'll go to, so you just have to have somebody who's monitoring that, but I assume if you already are doing community management, it's there. You also can do though, because when you do a chatbot, you kind of have to sequence out like a whole conversation, right? But what you can also have is you can have keyword replies. So if someone does type a certain keyword, you can have like a different like bot go ahead and kind of give a canned, not canned response, but it's like it is a canned response, but if it's, you know, relevant. So for example, like we just set one up for the San Diego Tourism Authority, and they have like on their website they have a lot of information for the, you know, the LGBT community. And so any of those, you know, we put like any type of keyword anybody would ever say related to that, and it can send them to that content. So there's other ways to do that. Test, A/B test. Like that's my rule with anything. Like if you have tons, I mean, that's awesome that you have a lot of that, but you could always, you know, you could also survey some of your current customers, like, hey, what's the most valuable? One that we're in the process of setting this one up right now. It's not necessarily B2B, but so for our agency side, like we're really doing a lot more with influencer marketing with a lot of our clients. And so with our influencer agreements, we just spent, you know, like $6,000 though on our attorney fees, making sure we had like an ironclad good contract for our influencers. And we just decided, and we're going to be rolling this campaign out, we're going to make that our gated content. So we're going to literally give this templated contract for free out to people, but they have to go ahead and gate it. So I might do it maybe by the value of that too. But if you have like good helpful articles, you might send them like some of those earlier examples to something where they get something for free there. But then if they want the additional, maybe more valuable white paper, ebook, report, maybe that's where you gate it. I mean, I'd start with, the best thing you do is just get going with one. So I don't feel like you can't do anything until you're ready to do all seven for sure. I'd say if he already has the gated content, he could go start that tomorrow. But if you don't have, maybe you don't have the gated content yet, well then maybe you could do like a simple promotion, right? Like a giveaway or something like that. But you, what kind of industry? Because I mean, that depends too. It depends on what kind of industry are you in though? Natural resources. Can you give me more information? Like what are you selling? For insurance? I mean, I would definitely start with like creating content that's valuable. Do some of the gated stuff. If promotions aren't going to work. I mean, I'm a big fan on the chatbots right now. Do you get a lot of activity on Facebook?
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you get a lot of activity on Facebook and chatbots. That's why I was curious if anybody went to that session yesterday. From my experience, you can still get a pretty decent chatbot program up and running like in a day.